Okay, let's begin with our prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. First up, some logistics. Last week I finally got a copy of the schedule for religious education, so I know when the kids are in class and when they're not. We meet one more time before Thanksgiving. That's 24th. So the first weekend in December is the first Sunday of Advent. It's also known as the Sunday after Black Friday. So that's Thanksgiving break. Right, that's the secular holiday, right? In other news, this is show and tell. I've got these ribbons in my Bible, and your Bible may or may not have ribbons. If you want ribbons in your Bible, you can buy ribbons for a Bible. You can look for Bible ribbons on Amazon or go to a Catholic bookstore or even at Mardell's up by the mall, you know, Protestant bookstores, because Protestants put ribbons in their Bible too. It's not a Catholic thing. But you just slide this in. You just slide this in the bookbinding, and then you've got ribbons. They're replaceable. Mine are wearing out, so I'm going to try and cram this in my Bible. Anyway, that's good for other books too. The Catechism. You could put ribbons in the Catechism for important topics. Okay. So I've got schedule and my show and tell. We are in Genesis still, in chapter 27 of Genesis. When we first started out, a couple people asked, are these the Jews? Right? And we were talking about the sons of Seth, you know, Ham and Noah. Was he Jewish? And the answer is, no, not really, because everything that we think about the Jewish people is they follow the Torah, they follow the law of Moses, and they're, the nation of Israel. Well, Israel hasn't been born yet. Moses hasn't been born yet. We don't have a book of the law yet. And so they're not really Jewish. The only distinguishing feature that would make them anything close to the Jews is that they're monotheist. They believe in one God, which is unique in the ancient world. Everybody else believed in a bunch of gods. So this is the people of Yahweh, the people who follow the Lord, one God, the Creator. Okay. Well, today, hopefully, we will get to hear some of the names that start to sound familiar. Right? The nation of Israel. It turns out Israel is a man. Right? So we're gonna meet him today, hopefully. All right. Chapter 27. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." Sounds like Abraham, right? And he said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out into the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that I may bless you before I die." Now remember, Isaac is the only begotten son of Abraham. He had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And here Isaac has promised Esau he's going to bless him. But remember, Esau has sold his birthright for a cup of porridge. He doesn't think highly of his birthright or his history. Now, in verse 5, Rebekah was listening. It's Isaac's wife, Esau and Jacob's mother. So Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me savory food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die." Now, therefore, my son, obey my word as I command you. I've got a note here. This is a bad idea. When anybody says, obey my word, instead of obey the word of the Lord, we know things are going to go south. So this is what's about to happen. So mom tells Jacob, go to the flock and fetch me two good kids, that I may prepare from them savory food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it before your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies. But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man. That's what Esau means, hairy, because he's got hair all over him. Okay. Close the door so we don't get a lot of noise in here. He's a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. His mother said, upon me be your curse, my son, only obey my word. Go, fetch them to me. So he went and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the kid he put upon his hands and upon the smooth part of his neck. Right? So he's wearing basically sheepskin. Or a kid from a goat, I guess, right? Doesn't feel human, right? Esau must have been really hairy. I don't know. Just think about that. And she gave the savory food and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went into his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that you may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he answered, because the Lord, your God, granted me success. He's lying, and he will not claim God as his own God. He's like, the Lord, your God, has blessed me, has granted me success. He's sneaky, right? Verse 20, 21. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. And so he blessed him and said, are you ready? Are you really my son Esau? He answered, I am. Now, to a Jewish audience, this is blasphemy. We don't know it's blasphemy yet, but this is the holy name of God. I am who am, Yahweh. So why does Jesus get arrested? Because he's already arrested, and before the Sanhedrin in the Gospel of Mark, the leaders, the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the synagogue, or the temple rather, say, are you the Son of God? And he says, Yahweh. I am. Oh, you've heard the blasphemy. They rip their clothes and they give them to the Romans to kill. So here he is. I am. Ooh, dangerous. To the Jewish audience. At this point, we don't know the name of God yet because it hasn't been revealed, so it's okay. All right, where am I? Verse 25. Then he said, bring it to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him. Remember Judas betraying Jesus with a kiss, right? This is shades of the future, right? So he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, that you, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. That is a powerful blessing. Your brothers will serve you and bow down before you. It's not the last time we're going to hear language like this. Verse 30. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also prepared savory food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father rise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Wait a minute, who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled violently. "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came? And I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with guile, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob?" Jacob means guile, means trick. Yeah. So his name means one who grabs, right? So he's grabbing stuff that doesn't belong to him. Because he was coming out of his mom's womb, right, the twins, Esau was born first, and Jacob was grabbing at his heel. So it's trick or grabber or things like that, right? Okay. "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times." Two times. Wait, what? "He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Those are the two times. Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "Behold, I have made him your lord, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Isaac his father answered him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you break loose, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Sad, right? The idea here is that the blessings, these are sacramental words, right? He blessed him, and to these people, it's going to happen, period. And the blessing went to Isaac. I'm sorry, the blessing went to Jacob instead of Esau. And dad is like, "Sorry, there's nothing I can do." All right? This rephrased here, "It just sucks to be you." It sucks to be you. It's terrible. It's all right. But that's the belief in the blessing.
Why did he only bless him and not Esau?
Because he said, Your brothers shall serve you. You can't say that they're going to serve each other, right? One will be the master over the other. And he meant it, and it's going to happen.
So it was sacramental. He couldn't take it back.
Right.
Even though he lied and tricked.
Yeah, right. So words have, the words have meaning and power and effect, is the understanding here.
So Esau, yeah. Just so I can remember, Esau is the one that gave up his birthright.
Yes, Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge. So his hunger was more important than his lineage, right? That's the kind of guy he was. And now Jacob has tricked his brother, his older brother, and stolen his blessing as well as his birthright. Okay. Verse 41. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice." Again, this time it's a good idea. I got to say, because self-preservation is all right. You can do this, right? "Obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away, and he forgets what you have done to him, what you have done to him at my bidding." She doesn't say that. What you have done to him. "Then I will send and fetch you from there. Why should I be bereft of both of you in one day?" What? Only one's going to die. But if one dies and the other becomes a murderer, she's lost both her sons. Right? That's what this is about. "Then Rebekah said to Isaac, 'I am weary of my life because of these Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women such as these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be?'" So remember, Esau has two Hittite wives, and they're making life difficult because they're polytheists. They're in the land. Isaac and Rebekah are living in a land full of polytheists, and their oldest son has married a couple of them. And so, yeah, it's going to be a problem. Hi, Father.
This is the perfect room, isn't it? It's tailor-made.
It's the perfect size, yeah.
Yeah, rather than the big hall. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, it's great to see everyone.
It's awesome.
I'm glad we have people coming, because you never know. Sometimes people kind of fade away after time, but the fact we have such a good group, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Really awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's very edifying. I have to say, thank you all for coming. Because, you know, I would be here if there were two people here, but still, that there are more, it's just wonderful. Okay, so we are... Okay, that's the end of chapter 27. Rebekah convinces... that was back last week at the very end of chapter 26. Chapter 26, verse 34. When Esau was 40 years old, he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Virath the Hittite, and Bas-Emath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. Yes. The question is, these aren't little kids when they're doing this. They're grown men, 40 years old, and still obeying mom instead of God. Right? Yeah, so Jacob really comes across as kind of a mama's boy. And he's a smooth man. He's not a man of the field. He's kind of a bookworm. He stays inside. There aren't any books either, so I don't know what he's doing all day. But he's not out in the field hunting. He doesn't go hunting. His mom says, "Go grab something from the flock. It'll do. I'll cook it. And here, put hair on your arms so that you can fool your dad." So, yeah, he comes across as kind of a wimp. Things get better, though. Yeah. Okay, in chapter 28, Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. He's already blessed him, but he blesses his journey now. And charged him, "You shall not marry one of the Canaanite women. Arise, go to Padan Aram. Or something like that, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take as wife from there one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings, which God gave to Abraham," your grandpa, right? "Thus Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram, something like that, to Laban, the son of Bethuel, and the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's, and Esau's mother." So all the family connections are listed there again, just in case we have slept since last week when we read about them. Okay. Again, this is before rules about consanguinity. Yes, he's going to marry a cousin. Okay, just to make it abundantly clear, this is going to happen. There's a note in here, Esau marries Ishmael's daughter. In verse 6, Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to that place to take a wife from there. And he blessed him as he charged him, "You shall not marry one of the Canaanite women." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and gone. Verse 8, so when Esau saw that the Canaanite women did not please Isaac, his father, Esau went to Ishmael and took to wife, besides the wives he already had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. So Esau's like, oh, okay, so my wives don't please my dad. I'll go marry another cousin, the daughter of Ishmael, and that'll make my dad happy. Except now he's got three wives. So this is, he's trying, but it's just not really working out. I don't know yet, really, if there's any other reason, if this is going to come back and be significant, that he marries a daughter of Ishmael, other than his motivation is clearly, I want to make dad happy. But, yeah, nevertheless. Okay. Jacob has a dream at Bethel. In verse 10, Jacob left Beersheba, that's their home, right? The well of the oath, remember that, and went toward Haran. Remember, Haran is where Abraham and his father stopped, halfway from Ur of the Chaldeans, where they were born and raised. They stopped at Haran. And then when Abraham's father died, remember that place was named after Abraham's brother, Haran, the father of Lot. I'm getting all these connections, right? So that's the place where Abraham's father died. Abraham's brother stayed there. Abraham went on to Canaan. So Haran is this little encampment halfway between Iran and Jerusalem. Okay. I don't have a map, but you kind of get the point. All right. He came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Well, yeah, you're going to stop traveling when the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed there was a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. And your descendants shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and by you and by your descendants shall all the families of the earth bless themselves. That's the threefold promise that God made to Abraham. He's repeating and giving to Jacob in this dream. In verse 15, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that of which I have spoken to you. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is the base of the altar in every Catholic church. This is how the Catholic Church views consecrated ground, with the angels of God ascending and descending on the altar. That's why we hallowed it. And this is at the blessing of a church. This is read, blessed is this place. Surely the Lord is in this place. This is part of the blessing of a church building. Verse 18. Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone which he had put under his head, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. Think of the stone. When an altar is consecrated, oil is poured over the whole surface of the top, and the bishop anoints the stone. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz at first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and keep me in this way I go, I will give him and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God." Remember before, he told his dad, "The Lord, your God, blessed me." Well, now he's going to own it. He's going to say, "Okay, I will, the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I've set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and all of you shall, and all that you give me, I will give the tenth to you." This is why Protestants tithe. We should too. This is the kind of thing that faithful people of the Lord do, right? Abraham gave a tenth of everything he owned to Melchizedek. And here, Jacob promises to give a tenth to the Lord. Yes, question. Yeah.
Why did God choose to communicate with him in this way? Because it looks like he'd have been very disappointed in him.
Yeah, so why? The question is, why did God communicate so lovingly and bless him and give him the promises after Jacob has been kind of a sneak and a liar and deceitful and cunning? Yes, and he abused his blessing. The reason is God is a God of his word. He told Abraham, "I will bless you and your descendants, and by your descendants they will bless themselves." And here he is. Here's the son of Isaac that Isaac has blessed. God's like, "Okay, I'm going to work with what I've got. I've got a deceitful, cunning man. I'm going to turn this into an instrument for a good." And guess what? He does the same thing with us. He takes a deceitful, cunning man and makes him a deacon. He takes this broken shell and says, "I'm going to give you the tools to be able to teach the Bible." Because really, if you know, I'm a totally different person than I was in college or high school. And Jacob is going to become a totally different person. In the same way that Abraham, right? He goes into Egypt and says, "Yeah, this is my sister." And it's his wife, right? So this is concupiscence. The nature to sin. This is our sin nature. We've got this tendency to drift towards our own selfish aims, and God pulls us back to that to say, no, I want you to follow my plan, not your own, and not your mother's. Does that make sense? Okay, here's another part of my show and tell. I have to show this up right side up. This is an icon that I have in my house. This is called Jacob's Ladder, and if you look closely, maybe you've seen this in other, like, religious art books or something. There's a bunch of souls going up the ladder to heaven, and there are demons flying around picking the souls off and throwing them down to the ground. This is sort of, you know, and then there's God the Father up in the corner here welcoming the souls that make it all the way up into heaven. So this is Jacob's ladder with, a ladder between earth and heaven. Okay. So I think this is called Jacob's ladder. It's not like the angels of God going up and down. So the artist is taking liberties here, I think. But this is sort of the idea of iconography teaching. Well, no, this is the artist. This is the artist taking liberties with the souls. You can see the demons, you know, they're not really friendly, and they're literally picking, you know, grabbing souls and throwing them down. It's just like, oh. So, yeah, so the angels looking at the scene. Here's the church down in the corner. A soul's sending. There's a bishop. Looks like he's almost there. So.
He's past the demons.
Yeah, he's past the demons, right? But you can see the demons picking him off and just casting him down. See, there's like a demon face. I just noticed this, a demon face, and he's got a soul like sticking in his mouth. It's kind of, yeah, it's this is in my study. So as I'm studying, you know, I look upon this. I'm on a ladder, right? I've got a. So the iconography of the church, the iconography of the church comes from Scripture and then interprets that Scripture to make a point. So some of you said, well, you know, these aren't angels going up and down a staircase, but still, the idea of a staircase, and the church has the idea that the base of the stairs is at the altar. Right, so angels are there that can take the sacrifice of Christ at the altar up to heaven. Yes, I've got two questions. No? Okay. Question mark.
Well, it says here that he said he would do something if God would give him bread and clothing and everything. So he's still making.
Yes, the observation is that his vow to God is conditional.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like if. You will do, and we do that too, right? Quid pro quo. Yeah, it's not an unconditional thing, right? So again, this is Jacob is a work in progress still. He's not quite there. By the end of Abraham's life, or close to the end of Abraham's life, when God asks him to sacrifice his son Isaac, there's total commitment. He's all in. This unconditional. I don't understand this plan, but I'm going to do it. Right? That's where, that's our goal, to reach that. But most of us are really not there yet. So, well, the heaven is that goal, right? Yeah. Okay. A question. Yes.
I'm wondering if there's a correlation where it's stated throughout the Bible that God speaks to people. Because this is what happened with Jacob, right?
Yes. The question is, does God speak to people in their dreams?
Because he appears to Israel directly, but then
yes.
We see this is the first time
when
he speaks to them.
He speaks to people in dreams. Both. It's both. God speaks to people in visions and in dreams. So we'll get to one of the sons of Jacob is going to be Joseph. He's an interpreter of dreams. And God is going to speak to Pharaoh in a dream. Right? And Joseph is going to interpret the dream. Later on, God will speak to another Joseph in a dream and say, your wife Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid to take her as your betrothed. Right, so Joseph will be an interpreter of dreams, like his namesake, all the way back here. So yes, God speaks in dreams to people throughout Scripture. Those are just two examples. There are more, but there are also visions. Yeah, the prophets often receive visions of God, and we don't know if they're asleep or awake when those happen. But yeah, we can get to those in later studies. Okay. Chapter 29 of Genesis. Jacob went on his journey. He just continued on, right? And came to the land of the people of the east. He's not in China. The people of the east are east of where he was, right? And the people of the east are his family. And behold, he looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep lying beside it. For out of that well the flocks were watered. And the stone on the well's mouth was large. And when all of the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place upon the mouth of the well. Jacob said to them, my brothers, where do you come from? And they said, we are from Haran. Oh, I'm there. Because Google Maps doesn't exist yet. And he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said to them, is it well with him? And they said, it is well. And see, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. He said, behold, it is still high day, and it is not the time for animals. It is not time for the animals to be gathered together. water the sheep and go pasture them. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and the stone is rolled from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep. I don't know why this thing is with, you know, we're going to wait until everything's gathered. My only guess is that they put the stone there to avoid evaporation of the well or something. But I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know that there's some theological reason for this narrative. Anyway, verse 9, while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. Now when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob went up and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, which seems remarkably forward, and wept aloud. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. Okay, again, a man shows up at a well and meets a woman. This is going to be a recurring theme, and here we are. This is, I think, the second time it's happened. It's not going to be the end of this type of pattern. Pardon?
Is that how you get women?
I get you go well, sure, because if you want to meet women, you go to where women go, and women go to the well. So you go to a well. All right. So I mean, so keep this in mind, right? When a man goes to a well and starts speaking to a woman, there's a marriage that's going to happen, right? It's going to happen over and over again. So remember, Jesus goes to a well and talks to a Samaritan woman, and when his apostles come back and sees Jesus talking to a woman at a well, they're like, whoa, this is a really big deal. But Jesus isn't going to marry the Samaritan woman. He's going to marry everyone, right? He's the bridegroom. So,
is that like going into the
tent
again?
Yeah. Going into the tent, yeah. It's close. It's the prelude to that, I think. The prelude to going into the tent. So Rebekah ran and told her father that this is really big news. Verse 13, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet them and embraced him and kissed him and brought him into his house. Jacob told Laban all these things, and Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he stayed with him a month. Bone and flesh. It sounds like Adam, right? Meeting Eve, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So they're kin. They're meant to be together, right? 15, Laban said to Jacob, because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Right, you're not going to be a slave, I'll pay you, right? That's what that means. Tell me, what shall your wages be? Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak. She wasn't farsighted or anything. She's homely, and she's not very pretty. That's what that means. But Rachel was beautiful and lovely. Jacob loved Rachel. That's the first one he saw. And he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me. So this is a deal, right? So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. 21. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed. So Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. But in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her maid. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? Why have you deceived me? So the trickster has been tricked. All right, this is fair play. Turnabout is fair play, right? And now I don't know how. Maybe it was dark. I don't know. She had a veil. I'm not really sure how. You know, maybe Jacob was drunk. I'm not really sure what happened there. But he has consummated a marriage with the wrong woman. That's what's happened. He is now married to Leah. Done deal. Yeah. Laban said, it is not done. Let's see. It is not done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn, so Leah has the rights to be married off first. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years. So Jacob did so and completed her week, and Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to wife. Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her maid. Okay, these names, Zilpah and Bilhah, will become very important later on. Teaser. Right, this is right. Why are maids listed in the story? You'll find out. It's cool. So Jacob went into Rachel. it's about to happen. It's about to happen in verse 29, right? Or in chapter 30 it'll happen. Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served Laban for another 7 years. So he's married to both of them. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren, and Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For he said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, surely now my husband will love me. She conceived and bore, and again bore a son. Because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me the son also. She called his name Simeon. Again, she conceived and bore a son, and said, now this time my husband will be joined to me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. These names should start to sound familiar.
So Jacob was a polygamist.
Yes. Jacob was a polygamist. He has 2 wives.
But not by choice. Yes.
Well, yeah, it wasn't his choice. But still, he loved Jacob. So he loved Rachel. So Jacob loved Rachel, and so far his first wife Leah has borne 3 sons. 3 sons, right. So he's sleeping with both of these women, right? I mean, that's what's going on. Because otherwise, Leah's having his sons, right?
And they're all cousins.
Yeah, and they're all cousins, yeah. Okay, and she conceived and bore a son. This time I will praise the Lord, therefore his name is Judah, and she ceased bearing. So Leah has borne 4 sons, and so far Rachel is still barren. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. Remember, polygamy always ends badly. And she said to Jacob, give me children or I shall die. So she's blaming Jacob. Okay. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, like it's not really his fault. And he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruits of the womb? Then she said, here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her, that she may bear upon my knees, and even I may have children through her. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yep, Abraham, yep, did this. That's where Ishmael came from. So she gave him her maid Bilhah as wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, God has judged me and has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan. Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore, so now he's sleeping with at least 3 women, yeah, bore Jacob a second son. Rachel said, with mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister and have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali. Apparently these names have meaning that I don't speak Hebrew, so maybe Naphtali means wrestle. I don't know.
Wrestling?
Okay. Verse 9. When Leah saw that she had ceased bearing, she took her maid, Zilpah, who didn't see this coming, and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Then Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, good fortune. And she called his name Gad, which probably means good fortune. That is fortune, yeah. Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. And Leah said, blessed am I, for the women will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher, which is blessed, yeah. So, let's say 14. In the days of the wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray, some of your son's mandrakes. But she said, Is it a small matter that you would have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? Rachel said, then he may lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. When Jacob came from the field in the morning, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come into me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. I don't know what the deal is with mandrakes. Maybe they're an aphrodisiac. I have no... Okay, so this is all about competition with... So all these women are competing each other for Jacob's affection, and they want to bear children for their own honor.
Where's the girl?
Hmm?
I don't know how many...
Where are the girls?
Yeah.
I don't know if these are the only children these women are bearing. Roll of the dice just come up, you know, randomly... consistently, or the girls are not listed. Okay, yes, question.
In the Old Testament, he's sleeping with several people.
Yes.
But they weren't necessarily called wives, were they?
The question is, are these maids also wives? And I think the answer is yes, because the women gave their maids to their husband as wife. Yes, like a wife, yeah, but not formally. Yeah, concubinage is something different. Right now, I think Jacob has four wives. Two that he chose, one he wanted, two that he chose, three that he accepted as gifts from his other wives so that he would bear children.
So would they have been entitled to the same inheritance?
Pardon? Yes. Yeah, the question was, would the children be entitled to the same inheritance? Yeah, so far Reuben is the firstborn, and he's going to be considered, at this point, he's the firstborn and would have right of inheritance as the firstborn. Okay, so you see what's going on. Let's see, where are we? Oh, we're going to... Leah bribed the affection of her husband with mandrakes. So he lay with her that night, and God hearkened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Verse 18, Leah said, God has given me my hire because I have given my maid to my husband. So she called his name Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And then Leah said, God has endowed me with good dowry. Now my husband will honor me because I have borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun. Afterwards, she bore a daughter. There we go. There's the women. She called her name Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel, finally. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son. God said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, may the Lord add me another son. Verse 25. When Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know the service which I have given you. Laban said, if you will allow me to say so, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. So, wait a minute. He's learned by divination? He's practicing witchcraft, right? He is not asking the Lord. He's in some pagan ritual thing, learning by divination that the Lord has blessed him. So while he is in Abraham's family tree, he's not really in the same faith that Abraham has. Okay. Name your wages and I will give it. Verse 29. Jacob said to him, you yourself know how I've served you, how your cattle and fared with me. You had little before I came and has increased abundantly. The Lord has blessed whoever has blessed you wherever I turn. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also? Remember, he's got 12 sons by this time. Wow. For crying out loud. He said, what shall I give you? Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again feed your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb and the speckled and spotted among the goats such as, and such shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later. Yeah, we're going to hear about his honesty in a minute. And I'm going to stop at verse 31 because it's almost time to go. You'll hear about it. You'll hear about it in a minute. He'll take only the speckled and spotted. Laban said, good, let it be as you've said. But that day, Laban removed the he-goats that were striped and spotted, and all of the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black. He put them in charge of his sons, and he set a distance 3 days' journeys between himself and Jacob. Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. Jacob took fresh rods of poplar and almond and plain, and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the whites of the rods. Then he set the rods which he had peeled in front of the flocks in the runnels, that is, the watering crops, where the flocks came to drink. So they're looking at these stripes every time they drink. Okay? And since they had bread when they came to drink, you got that? I mean, they're all together, so it's easy to breed, I guess, when you're all together. Because they're animals. The flocks bred in front of the rods. And so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. I don't know how genetically this happens, but that happened, right? So Jacob is manipulating the flock for his own advantage. That's what's going on. Laban is trying to do the same thing, right? Because he took all the speckled out. And then... Since they bred when they came to drink... Jacob separated the lambs, set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and black. Whenever the stronger of the flocks was breeding, Jacob laid the rods in front of... and they might breed among the rods. But for the feebler of the flock, he did not lay there, so that the feebler were Laban's and the strong were Jacob. Thus the man grew exceedingly rich and had large flocks, maidservants and manservants and camels and donkeys. He's getting wealthy because he's manipulating the game. End of chapter. Jacob is getting wealthy. Right. Okay. God bless you. And that's the end of chapter 29. We will begin with chapter 30. We'll begin with 31. Next.